Love.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline. With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. John McCray and Vince DiFiore here tonight from Cake. Always good to see Cake. Yeah. And as far as I know, this is Cake. I know there's five other guys in the band, but I wouldn't recognize them if they crossed me in the street.
This is our Cake.
I know, the one said talk about sex with you.
John and Vince is Cake. Always good to see Cake. And, you know, a band that's now been around, well, 12 years, if you can believe it. It says formed in 1992, but probably came onto the scene 96?
96, yeah.
When did you make the scene?
We released our first album on our own sort of independent label in 94.
Mm-hmm.
93, right. And then it was re-released in 94, and the same stations that said they didn't like it started playing it when it was released on a real label. And,
right.
So then in 96, we released another album. So that actually sort of probably brought us to people's attention for the first time, because it was a...
Going the Distance was on it.
A sports encouragement anthem.
Yeah, great song. I mean, here's the thing about Cake, too. Nobody doesn't like Cake. There's bands
except
that...
you like pie.
I like pie, but I mean, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the band Cake.
The band Cake. What I'm saying is there's certain bands that people almost feel guilty about saying they like, or that they always spark some debate, but not Cake. Yeah. Cake's one of those bands people leave you alone.
Well, we've tried to be under the radar a little bit, you know?
No, not under the radar either.
No,
just like
people know who they are, and they like them, and maybe they're not Cake aficionados. Maybe they just know a couple of Cake songs, they like those Cake songs, and they let you go.
Yeah.
They just leave you alone.
Well, it's a, you know, we've heard some debate on whether we deserve to exist or not, but we're just trying to provide quality service. And
sure. You better exist to a lot of people, because they're returning on November 18th and will be at the Universal Amphitheater.
Yeah, true.
Yeah,
nice.
You
better
like
exist.
You better.
A lot of people. Otherwise, you're going to be looking at instruments leaning on chairs up there.
Yeah.
I'll drop trowel. I'll do it. I'll drop trowel. Don't make me drop trowel. I'll do it. So, you know, and Cake, now tell me if my impression is wrong of Cake. They're around for a little bit, and they seem to take a little break, and then they come around again.
Yeah.
As opposed to going away, never coming back, or those bands that just seem to be perpetually touring and promoting.
Yeah. We try to just pace ourselves. And also, you know, there's enough music foisting itself at your head every month. And I just think it's good to take a breath in between. You know.
And it's been five albums in 10 years.
Wow. Yeah.
Really.
So it's sort
good
of
pace.
Yeah. It's a yeah. It's
is ever,
a,
everyone does everyone live up north?
Yeah, Northern California, Central Valley, and the Bay Area.
I think it's a better life there, Drew.
So much nicer.
I think it's better. We should be.
I know it's Central Valley. Central Valley.
Yeah.
But the Bay Area, yes.
We should get in a Cake.
In fact, why did they settle Southern California? Why wasn't Los Angeles like up north?
You know? Well, there was a port here. I think we had like
desert,
a deep water port.
Desert.
I think it had to do with the port.
Yeah.
I think that's why we're here. I think
good port, lots of sun. You know, never. You can keep your
barn drives, I guess.
Yeah, that, and you can. I guess so.
Right.
And certainly, the aerospace industry was really. That brought a lot of people
here. Lots of space, I guess. Lots of flat space. No,
and they can keep people working all year long.
Mm. Right.
Because the weather's good.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Then next time we move a little closer to Canada, I agree with Trip.
With the climate change, though, it's exciting because it's going to get warmer and warmer up north. And
oh, it is?
Yeah.
Well, it's getting warmer and warmer down here.
It is.
That's not so exciting.
Is there climate change or not?
Well,
is there global warming or not, and how does it work? Because now I heard we're in a 10-year like tornado and typhoon and hurricane season that we've entered.
We'll be lucky if it's 10 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, because, most 98% of scientists that, you know, right. that I've read say that, yeah, there's such a thing. It's
except a lot of them disagree on what it's caused by.
Yeah, that's true.
A lot of
true.
Them say it's natural, normal, part of the normal cycling.
Let me tell you, this, let me say this. I'm no meteorologist. I'm no scientist.
Really?
I failed high school biology, Drew. I don't know if I brought that up before.
Oh, my God.
But
I'm
here's
shocked.
What I'd like. Since I was 10, I heard people talking for different reasons and different occasions about towing an iceberg. One day, we're going to have to tow an iceberg. Here's how we would cure this. We will tow an iceberg. They were talking about just recently, just a couple of weeks ago, that's going to stop the hurricane. We'll tow an iceberg. Then during the droughts that pop up every 10 years, someone talks about towing iceberg. When are we going to tow an iceberg? I would love to see an iceberg. We've been kicking around the tow the iceberg idea ever since tugboats and ropes were invented, yet no one ever seems to actually tow an iceberg. Can somebody tow a goddamn iceberg? I want to see it.
I don't believe it's possible.
I think
you don't think it's possible.
Towing an ice cube by the time they get it down to the Pacific.
But they used to talk about it all the time. We're going to tow an iceberg.
It's a Santa Claus thing. It's they're lying to
There's
you.
There's no.
Yeah, I think happen. They figured out that the desalination plants were maybe a better option.
No,
yeah,
right?
That's one of the other ideas for that
iceberg.
Kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, maybe you're right.
Save money on fuel. I mean, I imagine towing an iceberg is pretty expensive.
I would imagine. I haven't got any estimates, and it depends on the size of the.
But there are
starving students iceberg towing and fan then, line that'll
right.
do it.
Then you'd have to take the energy to melt it down, I guess, to make it into usable water.
God'll do that with his X-ray vision up there, which is the sun. But I don't say we have anything to do with it. And it's guys like you. I mean, it's you naysayers that don't get us our iceberg towed. But I would like a towed iceberg. And I think Drew's with me.
There's a lot of icebergs. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of big icebergs, actually, that are breaking off from Antarctica.
That's the point.
That's a perfect opportunity.
That are the size of the state of Delaware. I don't think you could pull that one around.
No. You go with a smaller one, but you just tow it down. And, you make like an amusement park on it for as long as it can last.
I mean, bring it down here. Because the Day After Tomorrow movie, you get it. Before it melts up there and makes the ocean have less salt in it and changes the magnetic pole and the clouds start whipping around and everything.
Right. I feel like I'm high. Let's go to the phone. Lynn?
Hello?
You're 27?
Yes, I'm in Seattle. I just had this question about this male friend that I've had for about a year. And over the past few months, he has started having really strong feelings for me. I think love feelings. Mm-hmm. And he knows I don't feel the same way. But I remember what Drew was saying about how the guys are always waiting for their opportunity to pounce in a relationship. So I'm kind of wondering, will he ever accept that it's not going to happen between us? And also, how long do you think it takes a guy in his situation, which is that he's twice divorced and has really been through the ringer, to get over feelings of infatuation and maybe love like this?
Okay, I think you're confusing some of the ways in which the male mind works. When a guy's waiting to pounce, he's waiting to pounce for sex only. When he becomes infatuated, he's infatuated, it's much more of a stalker mentality.
Yeah.
He's just around and around, and he will not let go.
Guys at 40 don't pounce anymore, really. They just sort of roll on top of you.
Yeah, they spring
a little bit. It's more of a smothering.
They smother.
Yeah.
And that's, in fact, what's going on here. But why did you get into a situation with this guy? And by the way, the twice divorced and all, it just means he's the kind of guy actually would probably get infatuated right away, right out of the marriage.
Oh, wait. And let me say this, too. You feeble-minded broads that are listening to the show. You want him to stop liking you in a sexual way or in a love sort of way, infatuation sort of way, and just go into liking you as a friend. When he stops liking you that way, game off.
No friend.
You're not going to be hanging out. So it's like, here's what I want to do. Stop liking me, and then we're going to keep hanging out.
No way.
No, he's gone. Right. All right. So, Lynn.
To develop.
Why? But is there any chance that you might be interested in him physically?
Oh, actually, I feel horrible because I find him kind of annoying, and he thinks of me like his best friend. Like, he's always raving about me. He says, like, I'm the only person he trusts in the whole world.
Oh, no. He's actually kind of a disturbed guy, then.
Why don't you try picking your nose a lot in front of him?
No, listen, whenever anybody says to you, are the most, greatest, whatever, fill in the blank, that it has ever, no one else can compare to you, you're the best ever, that's an idealization, and that's somebody who is living in a world where they idealize and de-idealize people and can't accept them as they really are, sort of the gray zone that we actually all live in.
Right.
And when somebody asks you to, and you need to be idealized by him, you got to set some boundaries with this guy. And just go, look, I'm not that person. You got to be very firm with him. And yes, you may take quite a fall, and that may be painful to you, but at least you're being fair to him then.
So you're saying pick the nose?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
I just want to cut to the quick there.
Yeah.
Hey, Lynn.
Yes.
Here's the thing, too. What's with you that this guy's annoying, you're not attracted to him, you know he's infatuated with you, and you have to keep this thing strung along. And now I'm going to put you on hold because I don't need to hear you.
No, I'll answer for you.
Here's the thing. You can do it. Oh, look, if you don't want someone to hang out with you, it's done.
Yeah.
If you really don't.
Yeah.
And, you know, people say, oh, I don't know what to do. He keeps calling and he comes by and whatever. Believe me, if you don't want to spend time with the guy, you can figure it out. You are culpable to some degree.
You ought to hear her answer. It'll be interesting because she's the kind of person that needs to be idealized, needs to be perfect.
All right, Lynn.
Well, I do think of him as a friend, and I do like spending time with him to some degree. Also, it thickens because I tutor him. He's trying to get his GED, and we've been tutoring for the past 9 or 10 months, and that's kind of how these feelings have developed.
All right, so Lynn, you're really participating with this. Not only are you allowing a dual relationship to develop here.
What do you do with a GED at 40, by the way?
I always say it's useless.
There you go. Enjoy. And 20 years at junior college, and then we'll bury you with the GED.
But it all sounds smacks of somebody who's had a lot of disability, a lot of chaos in his life, and you are allowing him to get... What's up with you, Lynn, that you let this guy get blow through all these boundaries and not be what you're supposed to be, which is a professional tutoring?
Well, we keep our boundaries. I mean,
You've not kept boundaries. You've not kept boundaries. You've allowed him to develop these feelings.
All right, Lynn, you're a big gal, big ass
no,
on you?
No, I'm cute. I know you always ask that. Huh?
All right,
no,
you're cute.
It's not so much that. I mean,
All right, I'm done. Look, here's the thing. You don't want a thing with him. You got to understand, too. You have to treat these guys like stray animals, which is you can't put a little saucer milk out by the back porch. Oh, I only put it out twice a week. I don't put it out every day. That's enough to keep them around. Yeah, they have nothing else.
This has to do with her vanity.
I think it's more than vanity, though. It's she's got some problems too. I mean, he's just pushing all of her buttons.
And they need to be on a diet of air and water in order to get off. They can't get a crumb from you.
I hate to say it, but she should read my book, Cracked, because I know you've not read it, but if you had, you'd know that it was specifically exploring boundaries in professional relationships.
Yes, she should read that. We're going to hear a song from Cake, by the way, a new song before the break is through. Tim?
Hey, Adam. Hey, Drew. How are you guys doing tonight?
17. What's happening? Say hi to Cake.
Hi, Cake.
Hello.
First off, Adam, you are God. And Drew, you're a very passionate man.
Passionate.
Yeah.
Okay, so I've been with this girl almost a year now. Love her to death.
Uh-oh.
The thing is, when she first got into high school, which was 2 years ago, she was like the school slut. And it all kind of culminated with her getting raped at a party, which I guess the whole thing kind of just bothers me. Her past, you know.
Whoa. You jumped around a little bit.
Yeah.
She got raped at a party. How did you get involved with this?
He was the third guy.
Yeah.
I met her last year. I didn't know who she was until, I kind of got to know her, and she just told me about it. Mm. And you needed to rescue
her from all that? You kind of a rescuing guy?
Yeah, we kind of both, like, rescued ourselves from, you know.
Hold on, Tim, virgin?
Until I met her, yeah.
She's the life preserver.
Here's a very common scenario, which is guys like Tim have not had a lot of experience with women, and the first thing that comes along
that holds still for them, they grab onto
with both hands. Now hold on, quiet.
Okay,
I got to tear you down before I build you up. Actually, I just tear you down, then Drew builds you up. That's the way we do it. The point is. You then get very attached to these people, and then it becomes a sort of project, like there's some, used car that you're going to put some primer and some paint on or something, or to try to get the stink of the last owner off them.
Well, because it's my car now, as I found this thing.
You're not going to be able to fix her. And here's the other thing, too. I'm sorry she went through whatever she went through, but there's a part of her that was, you'll find out if you stay with her long enough, that wasn't just a pure victim situation.
Yeah, she needs help. She was victimized long before the rape. Long before.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Just like through listening to you, I know, I think I know what's going on. I mean, her dad, she totally has a bad relationship with him. And I mean, this isn't my first experience with a girl. I've had a couple girlfriends before for kind of a long time.
Yeah. But, what base did you get to with them?
Third base.
Ooh.
Yeah.
What does that mean in 2004, 17-year-olds?
That's anal.
Yeah, that's anal.
That's the shot of snuff film. Third used to be, for us, just to be feeling the crotch outside of the pants. For them, it's they have sex with a corpse in front of the parents. And they film it and put it on the internet. And they rape them with a parking meter. That's what third base is now.
God, that's probably true.
It is true. Rape with a parking meter.
Close to true. Yeah. He did let it slip out. It's oral sex.
It's great that people feel so much more free now.
It is great.
Yeah, they're liberated. Isn't it great? Yes.
Yeah, it's perfect.
It's nice. You're into, huh?
Yeah. Hey, man. It's all beautiful.
Yeah, you're just uptight, Adam. Just relax.
I know. Yeah. I know. The man poisoned me. Tim, if we could tow a goddamn iceberg over here, I think I could chill out a little bit. But no, the man has poisoned me. Tim?
Yeah.
All right. So here's the thing. Do not get her pregnant.
Definitely not.
I'm going to try to get you kind of zen about this. Are you ready? Because I've been through this before.
What?
Back in the day.
What?
Every guy does this. Every guy gets a girlfriend when he's 17.
A project?
No, no. He obsesses about her past, who she's been with,
really...
Mm-hmm. Okay. But I'm just saying, whatever degree, believe me, if she was a virgin but gave her pool man a handy once in the cabana, you'd be angry about it. If you have energy, you have energy about this stuff. Here's all I'm
saying.
That's
a little weird. Give me some energy, too. I'm getting energy just thinking about that.
You know what I'm talking about?
That's weird. Yes, it's weird. But even if she kissed somebody.
Guys, this is how guys work.
If you get the pool man in the handy, it's like a 14-year-old. What? I'd be flipped out, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, but okay.
14.
All right. It's the handful of that diatomaceous earth and pow. Here's the point. Here's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is you're not going to marry her.
In Chicago, it's one of the above-ground pools.
That'd
be weird.
You're not going to marry her.
No.
You're not going to marry her. So it doesn't matter whether she's been with zero guys or 5,000 guys. You're not going to marry her. You're not marrying her. You're 17. You'll go off to college. She'll go off the work over at Zodi's, and that'll be that. Does that still exist?
I don't think so.
No. Okay.
But however, though. Okay, you want to finish? Because
ruining this fantasy, though.
Adam's right.
Be zen about it. Go, really, just go, look, I'm 17. She's 17. I'm going to college in 8 months. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to hang out. I'm going to have a good time. I'm going to enjoy the moment. And then, you know what? We're going to break up in a year.
It's good advice. Who cares? But you're asking him to be basically 40 about it.
Yeah, right. Who does that at that age?
But here's the other thing. There's a little bit of a twist on, which is it is an important relationship for him. It will have an impact on him, and it might as well not be a completely negative impact.
Yeah.
Adam's right. Kind of be a little more, what's the word I'm looking for? Have a little more equanimity when you approach, a little more just ease.
What? I'm 40. I don't know what equanimity means. You just try to get outside. Get a little distance.
Yeah.
Tim?
Yeah.
All right. I know we didn't answer your question. It's not going to help. Just don't get her pregnant.
Yeah. Is there something I can do, though, just not to think about this stuff?
Because
I know there's a certain amount that, she wanted it, but how do I get over
Tim,
that?
You can't not... Trying not to obsess on something brings the subject up
like
in your head over and
eat.
Over again. Yeah. And the problem... Oh.
What?
It's not. I'm just thinking when you're 17 and you have all the hormones and adrenaline and everything just coursing through you.
This is rough.
Yeah, it's rough. Yeah. You get a little bit older, you're like a battery that got left out in a toy too long or something. It's like I could barely get the bunny to clamp the cymbals together.
Stuff you're like, on the edge.
You're crusty. Oh, she did what? Whatever. Yeah.
That's kind of nice.
I'm ready, buddy.
It's nice not caring, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, actually.
It is.
It is. You can actually use your brain, actually functions again.
This is why old guys wear jumpsuits, you know, with the belts built in. That's, screw you. I got a boner. I'm not wearing any underpants. I'm going to the market. I'm wearing slippers tomorrow. I don't care.
It's about comfort. You're going to die soon.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be uncomfortable.
No, it's liberating. Yeah. It's like life is a job you're going to retire from soon. So screw it. I'm not going to make the 8:30 meeting. I'm going to take some supplies and tell the boss to blow me. That's what it is, Drew.
For the pool man, maybe.
The pool man.
Handy from the pool man.
He's got a bundle of issues going on, and there's no way that he's going to be able to get through it and let go.
No.
I would say try not to be too uptight about...
Maybe get her some help, and so you start to realize in a more therapeutic manner. I know it's hard at 17, but I realize that she needed help. She didn't get it in time. She was victimized. Something happened to her, and you're now getting her help. But you're not the one that's going to fix her, and you're not the one that's going to magically let go of all this.
Yes, and don't look at her as broken or damaged.
Just get her.
You need to really super actively pursue some good hobbies.
Yeah.
Diversions.
You do need diversions.
Sports.
Yeah.
Sports.
Yeah.
That saves young males.
It absolutely
does. Or rock music.
Rock music.
Play rock.
Join a band. You won't remember.
Be a drummer.
That's right. Yeah. Work it all out on the skins.
Become a drummer.
Frank.
Hello.
You're 23.
Yes.
Time to play a little Germany or Florida. Here's how the game goes, fellas. All bizarre stories emanate from either Germany or Florida. And I'm not talking about, you know, guy backs over his daughter. I'm talking about cuts his toes off and fries them up and eats them, kind of the macabre. Comes from either Germany or Florida. So he tells us a story, and then we guess. Is it Germany or Florida?
We don't guess. We tell him.
We tell him. We've got to be 14 for our last 16.
Easy. Yeah.
Frank?
Okay. Yes?
Go ahead.
Well, first, I just wanted to ask you a question, Adam.
Yes.
I was curious if, when you were about between 10 and 12 years old, if you made a movie on how to throw the javelin?
No.
You didn't?
No, I did mine on the discus.
Okay.
I did a discus and I did a shot put movie, but I did not do javelin. And I did a decathlon and pentathlon one, and I also did a steeplechase. But actually, I did every event, and I did a triple jump. I did every event in the track and field. I
not
did a tutorial on. Never did the javelin.
No decathlon.
Because
no
you hate javelin.
I hate javelin.
Yeah. Well, he sucks at it too.
Yeah, bad at
possibly
it. World class at the hammer throw, but not the javelin, because it's a totally different motion. Well, thanks, Frank. So, I get that ass all the time.
Okay, cake. You guys are awesome too. Love you guys.
We're not into javelin either. We hate javelin.
In 1978, did you guys make an album called Rocks, and it had diamonds on the front, or is that Aerosmith? Frank?
Yes.
All right, go ahead. Hold on a second. You saw a movie with a guy who looked like me that was throwing a javelin when he was 11?
Yes. Well, it was a movie on how to instruct little kids, and there's a little boy who looked very much like you, and it was filmed in Los Angeles around the time... I think you would have been about that age, but...
Mm-hmm.
Well, you get that footage.
Yeah, I'd like to see that.
That would have been great if that was actually you.
It would have been nice if it was me, but here's how you know it's not me. Because I was 11, I didn't drive, my parents would have had to take me somewhere other, you know, past our front lawn, and that was out of the question. It's the same rule I use with people when they say, oh, did you have Battleship? Did you have Operation? I say, did it take batteries?
Stratego.
Does it take batteries? Well, yeah, then I didn't have it. Now it did. Now just use that rule of thumb, and that's how you know. If it involved taking your child somewhere and enrolling them or getting film, I didn't do it. So if the film camera was in a crappy house in North Hollywood and I was throwing a javelin into a box spring that was in an alley, then it could have been me. But the javelin wouldn't have been a javelin. It would have been a mop handle that I carved into a point with some duct tape on it. All right, Frank, sorry. Go ahead. Germany or Florida?
So a student fed 10 teachers a cake laced with hashish.
Say it again.
A student fed 10 teachers a cake laced with hashish.
Sent some 10 teachers.
No. Yeah, a cake laced with hashish.
To 10 teachers, okay.
Yeah, some of the teachers went to the hospital for nausea, but the principal predicts the student will avoid expulsion because he's apologized for the prank.
Hold on. We got to take a break.
All right, we'll think
hashish about it. Hashish has a very international flavor
to it. And the forgiveness is not very Floridian.
No.
The Germans are into hash.
And Germans are in a hash. Well,
these are the kind of clues that determine the answer.
Yeah. Vince may go the other direction. Right. We don't know. Cake in studio tonight. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll finish the Germany, Florida, and then we'll hear a song from Cake off the new album, Pressure Cheap. All that after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Cake in studio tonight. And then Bonnie Somerville from NYPD Blue is in here. And also Puddle of Mud calling in from, they're coming in. And then we're getting calls from Iraq on Wednesday because Puddle of Mud was out there doing like a USO thing. And we're actually going to hook up a line with, we're not talking to U.S. soldiers. We're talking mostly Al-Qaeda.
Oh, no, not right.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be
a Sunni triangle.
It's going to be hard of like me going, you're female and you gave your man a hand. He should have his hands cut off. That's all. So that's every answer is going to be. But let me tell you something about those people. We cannot judge.
No, we cannot judge. How dare
it's
you?
Impossible
how
to judge.
Any culture is a beautiful thing.
It's all beautiful, and there's only difference.
It's all relative.
There's no better, there's
just
no worse.
You, where you're sitting, you think there's a difference.
No.
But we cannot judge.
What about clitorectomies?
No, can't judge. Hey, how dare you? How dare you?
Now, if I do one.
Two million per year.
Hang on. However, if Whitey does
on
it.
On one chick, or is that... here's the point. If I did it, it's a crime. But if someone from a different land did it, then it's a cultural thing, and I, as a white person, cannot judge.
Well, cannot judge. At least you have running water. Only 35% of the world has running water. Just live it up and shut up. You know what I mean?
No, I'm not judging. You
can't get in there.
Oh, listen, things are only different. There's no better and there's no worse. You understand?
Can't judge.
You cannot judge. Impossible to judge.
Clitorectomies, whatever.
It's a cultural thing.
It feels good, do it.
Cut their arms off, whatever.
Human
sacrifice? How dare you?
Cannot judge.
How dare you?
Cannot judge.
Well, I think that we have to.
Why? Why you can't judge?
Can't judge. No, I think we do have to find some way of.
Well, why?
No, I can't. It's not that like we don't want to judge. We want to. It's impossible. You cannot judge.
Well, I was just thinking with the whole Islam versus Christianity thing, everybody just has to take a big, deep breath and I think you're right. I mean, I know you're joking about don't judge, but I mean, there's a certain, there are a lot of really moderate
Muslim
people.
Of course.
In fact, most of them. And think of how many virulent born-again Christians or, you know, crazy.
Do you know that orthodoxy and fundamentalism, extremism, only exist in like 5 countries on earth?
Yeah.
It's a rare thing.
Here's what I'd like.
And it doesn't exist in any polytheistic cultures.
Can't we?
There you go. It's a binary system. When it becomes like one or the other,
just go to the other one.
Yeah, it'd be nice. Although I always say I want the guys that are orthodox and religious fanatics. I want it to be deemed as a medical or mental disorder. I wish we'd not have so much reverence toward people that are flogging themselves and facing Mecca 30 times a day. And the same with the born again guys that are laying their hands on you and healing you, and the Jews with the beards dragging on the ground. They got a 5-year-old kid with the payos and a fake beard stuck to him and a shaved head. He's getting his ass kicked at school every day. No, nothing wrong. Oh, no electricity on Saturday. Not child abuse, huh? No mental disorder. You got a goddamn box strapped to your head. And you're praying on your knees. You can't even have a job because you're praying so much. You're banging your wife through a sheet. Oh, you're fine. Oh, no. Oh, no. That's beautiful. Hey, man. Oh, no. I respect that. No. Okay. No. Get the folding chair. Go up to the mountain. Wait for the rapture. That's fine. No, that's fine. No. You're stable. No, you should raise 8 kids. Oh, you named them after the apostles. Fantastic. Have another brood. That's fantastic. How come no one pipes up and goes, hey, nut job? You're nuts. The guy thinks he's Napoleon, is getting chased with a butterfly net. I'd rather hang out with him. At least he knows he's nuts. You think you're right.
Well, at least he's not trying to convert you.
Yes. Yeah, he doesn't. He knows. I mean, he's the only Napoleon. He doesn't want you to be Napoleon, too. He's smart that way. We can't have an army full of generals.
Now, some of the crazy behavior, though, is out of reverence to historical, cultural standards. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sort of paying tribute.
Let's stop pretending like, here's what I'd like us to do as a society and as a culture. Let's stop pretending like we believe them, number one, and their whatever their nutty ass ideology is, and two, let's have stop having so much goddamn respect for them.
Well, it's tough in the United States, though, because we're our culture, we're descendants of religious zealots and freaks that couldn't deal with the color gray that was in Europe, they wanted a binary system, and they wanted good and evil. And we're, I think, in some ways genetically connected to that inclination, and we take that, I think, into other aspects of our lives.
I'd say the pool has been watered down sufficiently by now. So 2004, we can start calling these people what they are and tell them to kiss our ass and move on. That's all I'm saying. I'm saying if you don't believe the guy's religion, then stop pretending like you do. Oh, you're going to piss him off? Who cares?
But it's kind of fundamental to who we are as Americans is that kind of freakiness.
Yeah. Well, I'm done. Yeah. And all this stuff, and that all these pleas, oh no, we have to be this, we have to show that reverence. Everyone kiss my ass. Just shut your face with all your crappy religion, would you please? Just go to your crappy house. Oh, boy, look how God's blessed you, by the way. Oh, look all the work Allah's doing for you. Fantastic. Go to your dirt-floored crap hole and sit on it and go pray and shut your effing pie hole. Let me get to work. Jesus Christ. Frank, I know it's ironic.
You need a beer.
I know. I got to take the edge off. I'm just so tired of it. I'm just tired of sitting by. I'm an atheist, so I got to sit there. Thanks. Hey, I need a cold one. I got to sit back and pretend like everyone's right. No, I don't want to say anything. What?
We have to have toleration. We have to have that.
I'm not doing. Look at my non-religion as a religion. By the way, I'm not shoving it up your focus, am I? Shut up, idiots.
Fundamentalism of any kind.
Yes,
right?
I hate them all. Yeah. I hate them all.
When you can't bear any other points of view.
Yeah, not a lot of flexibility with the intelligence.
And by the way, you want to talk about being myopic or racist or whatever. How about you got to believe what I believe or you're going to hell? I mean, you're looking at me and saying, oh, I'm not being flexible? What about you? You've alienated 99% of the Earth's population because they don't believe in your crappy religion. And in your mind, they're all going to some fiery pit.
There are still the fundamentalists who believe that but have a lot of restraint not to tell you you're going to hell.
But they're so superior.
They act so superior.
I don't like being around them.
It's a step in the right direction.
It is. Yeah, just I'm with Vincent. Just shut up. Please, shut up about your crappy religion, which, by the way, you don't really believe in or you wouldn't be talking my ear off
about
it.
But some of it is just ritual to sort of pay tribute to people who have fought for a religious tradition over many, many centuries.
Just go do it and shut up.
Okay, the shut up.
That's all I'm saying. Shut up with it. No one wants to hear your nonsense anymore. And that goes for all of you. That's all of them. All of them. We don't respect it. We all laugh at it behind. Anyone who's not your religion obviously thinks you're wrong. If they thought you're right, they'd join you in your crappy ranks, but they're not doing it. So obviously they don't really respect it. Thank you. Frank?
All right, Frank. So, Germany or Florida? We're going to Germany?
I think everybody thinks Germany.
Yeah. Well, you guys are probably right. But I was thinking it's hash you were thinking is probably more European, but maybe it was just a very small amount of
hash in
Florida.
No, you can't get hash in Florida. Florida is uptight.
Maybe an uncle just got back and smuggled some in from Amsterdam or something, but just a smidgeon.
Sort of an American thing to do.
It wasn't even hash. Maybe it was like a little bit of dried dog poo, and he said it was hash, and then the suggestion just made the teachers nauseous. It was like a placebo effect of nauseousness.
No, he said it was
once they
hash.
Were told by the principal that there may have been some hash in there.
Hold on. Just to reset, it is Germany or Florida, and so we know what we're talking about. And Frank over here says some kids have baked some cakes for their teachers and put hash in it, and the teachers got sick.
So it's one kid, right?
One kid.
And they've forgiven. They've forgiven
him.
People aren't forgiven in Florida.
Yeah. Oh, we're all going Florida except for Vincent.
We're all going Germany.
You're going Germany. I'll say Florida.
All right, Florida. Yeah. All right.
Frank?
Yes.
Germany or Florida?
It's Germany.
Yeah. Passion forgiveness does not exist in the state of Florida.
That's right. Yeah, and forgiveness, and certainly not together.
No.
You might find a little forgiveness if you looked around long enough somewhere around the panhandle. And hash, maybe if you had some friends that were, international travelers and, keistered a balloon of heroin or hash or something, they could bring it back to you. But not together. Yeah. No, that was German. And the point, now here's how Germany and Florida is played. We all felt German very seconds into the question, yes?
Yes, the hash and the forgiveness.
All right.
Now we're going to hear a cake song.
Oh, we are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of Hash and Forgiveness.
Good name for the Six album. Pressure Chief, name of the new CD. It is out October 5th. That is Tuesday. Yes? Yes. And this one is called No Phone. Everybody, Pressure Chief, name of the new CD, out Tuesday. Sounding like vintage cake, if you ask me. Great song. Real fast before we go to break here. Dave?
Yeah, how's it going, guys?
Good, Dave. You're 24. What's up?
Hey, I just saw you on the cover of the new Grass Motorsports with your Datsun this month.
Yeah.
Grass Motorsports?
Oh,
it's called Grassroots. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm in a 510 owners club, and me and all the other guys, we were talking about you a couple months ago, wondering if you still had your Datsun. And
yes, I
call in, and your phone screener wouldn't let me ask you about it. And then sure enough, you're on the cover of a magazine. So.
Yeah, thanks, bud. Well, we really didn't take any like personal calls, have anything to do with anything. But yeah, I have a old Datsun 510.
Is that what you're on with?
Yeah, but here's the whole thing, everybody. There's a group for everything that exists.
Everything.
If you have like a dwarf tabby, there's a cat group for that. And if
and
you
a
have
magazine a, for it.
And a magazine for it. And if you have a 510 Datsun 1971, there's a group for that. And here's the whole thing. I have a few of those things. I don't want to go to the club meeting, though. You know, I happen to like it. And then you know what else I like? Well, I like my wife. I like Beaten Off. Did I mention
there's
Beaten
a magazine?
Off?
That's a huge
club.
Huge
club. A big there. Magazine.
I like
for
going
that.
Home. I like work on my house. I like Jimmy. I like the show. I like Drew. I like a bunch of things. You understand? That's what we got to get through to these people. And same with the religious people, whether you're in the 510 club or the Jesus 10 club. Understand that that's a good thing and a healthy outlet and all that kind of good stuff, but you don't have to walk around with the windbreaker and hat on all the time.
Did you just say Jesus 10 Club?
Yeah.
Which club is that?
I don't know.
That's an awesome
I don't
club.
Know. One of those clubs.
I would like to be a member of all clubs and then spread out accordingly, and that's what everyone needs to do. But thank you, Dave. I'm glad you're enthusiast. I am too, but I'm enthusiast about many things.
Yeah.
I'm an enthusiast about enthusiasm, Drew. That's yes, what I'm yes. enthusiastic about.
Be on the model airplane.
I like the model airplanes. All right, Cake in studio tonight. We'll take ourselves a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Yeah, buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. John McCray here tonight. Vincent Spaceman DPR.
That was a difficult analogy. You have to admit.
It wasn't spot on. I've had better analogies than the one I made during the commercial break to Vincent about a framed car versus a unibody car. But you had to think the egg was the unibody.
Got it.
And frame.
I got it with that.
Frame's like the chicken bone with the flesh on it being the body. Yeah. And yeah. Okay, here's all the thing, everyone. Cars all used to have frames, like metal rails and stuff that ran down the middle of them. They get bent and stuff like that, you know. And then the body would sit on top of the frame, but like a big steel ladder with wheels on it. And then they'd lower the body on top of it. And then they started making the Japanese unibody cars and European cars. Unibody is like one big no frame anymore. Just the fenders and the undercarriage and everything, the roof, that was the frame of the car. That's what kept it together.
And then you have to put the doors on it and the trunk and all that.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's like an eggshell.
It's like an eggshell that you put a trunk on.
All right.
Well, we're good.
Like a carton.
Yeah. All right. We're ready?
Yeah, we go.
Ready to rock?
Let's go.
Let's talk to Lily, who's 16. Lily?
Yeah?
What's up?
Hey, oh my God. I am, like, the hugest fan of you guys. I listen to you guys, like, religiously.
Thanks.
Excellent.
Okay. My question is, I'm, like, a nympho, and, and, like, I was wondering, like, and I'm, like, 16, and, I was wondering what I do about that.
Are you a trauma survivor? Were you sexually abused growing up, that kind of thing?
Well, I was, like, just raped.
Just recently?
Yeah, like, during the summer.
Well, usually when a 15 or 16 year old is raped, there's something happened before that, long ago, like when you were 6 or 8.
What?
Anything happened when you were a lot younger?
Well, my mom used to abuse me, like hit me and stuff.
All right, so it's physical abuse. How did you end up in a group home?
You're in a group home?
Yeah.
Oh, did she say that?
Yeah, I was in the best group home.
You just read that. True.
I can't tell whether I read it or she said it.
Good.
How do you end up in a group home?
My mom kicked me out when I was 13.
Okay. Mm.
All right. So your mom was abusive, and now you're acting out.
Yeah, and dad was God knows where. Are you bipolar?
My mom is. I'm not sure if I am.
All right, so you might have inherited that, and that can make people very hypersexual, and you're a trauma survivor. That can make people hypersexual.
Who raped you?
I don't know. I was drunk, and I passed out and woke up naked.
All right, so you're a 16-year-old and using alcohol to the point that you're having horrible, horrible consequences. So I would advise you go focus on your alcoholism, because in the process of that 12-step recovery, you will discover a lot of things that will help you with the sexual compulsions as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's time for you to go to some 12-step meetings and start talking to. Do you see a therapist or a doctor or something there?
I have a doctor and I go to a drug rehab program, but it's not for drinking; it's for like drug abuse.
All right. Well, you're doing other things besides the alcohol, but you're still drinking.
Yeah.
You need to go to your 12-step meetings. You need to get the sponsor, and you need to work the steps.
So,
if
like,
you don't.
Yeah. So, like, being addicted to sex, that's like.
It's all part of. It's all part of it. It's all
you're,
part
you're
of the same thing.
You're addicted to anything that has a thrill involved with it.
When you've been traumatized, you can't regulate the duration and intensity of your feeling states, and so you feel kind of overwhelmed and awful all the time. And the only thing that makes you feel okay are these sort of drug-like experiences, or as Adam says, thrill. So sex will give you that, and alcohol will give you that, and drugs will give you that. And then once you do these things, they trigger a biology where you can't stop doing those things. So all that needs to be dealt with in 12-step. Okay?
All right, but Lily.
Yeah?
You're smart. You like the show. You got that going for you.
Yes, I listen to you guys religiously.
Thanks,
love
baby doll.
Adam Carolla, you're like my hero.
Thank you.
Dr. Drew, you rock.
Thank you.
So Adam's going to tell you what to do. Since he's your hero, you will follow his every word.
Yes, I will.
Okay. So, and do what Drew tells you to do.
So yes. You're going to go to meetings.
Right.
Get a sponsor. Work the steps. Very simple and free.
And
okay?
You're smart. And you don't have to act out. And I'm sorry you got a bad hand dealt to you. But, you know, you can get past it.
Okay.
You're smart enough. Life's going to be a little more work for you. That's all. For a while.
Okay.
All right.
All right, baby doll.
Love you guys.
Loving you, baby.
Okay, you guys rock.
All right.
Get that bipolar checked out.
I read somewhere that people that are sort of that eat a lot of candy when they're a kid have a higher incidence of alcoholism later in life.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right, hold on a second. Drew's going to beg to differ, I'm sure, but that's we haven't talked about this before.
I was just in Canada. It was in a Canadian newspaper, so I can't vouch for it. You
well,
know.
Let's talk about what may be behind that, and Drew can scoff while we're taking a leak. Well, you guys are still in here.
Are you
going to
leak with us?
No, then you can't scoff.
Oh, that's right.
You'll be scoffing alone,
okay,
remember?
Yes.
Cake here tonight. Take a quick break. Be right back. Yeah, everybody, it's Loveline. Oh, yeah, get it on. Get it on! Yeah!
People are doing it.
Gotta get it on.
People are doing it.
They're getting it on, Drew. I tell you, man. Gotta get it on. Yeah.
Cake's getting it on.
John McCray and Vincent DiFiore here tonight from Cake. Gotta get it on. Get it on.
It is a pleasure to be here.
Really?
Yeah, I'm enjoying myself.
Good.
We're getting it on.
How many times have you guys been on the show?
Three, four?
Four, right?
There's probably four.
I'd say four.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a long, strange trip.
Yeah, it's and you know, the thing about us and Cake is we've spread them out nicely. I mean, it's really like we went camping and we had four granola bars and we didn't eat them all in the car on the way out to the campsite. We had one day one, we had one day two. We're spreading Cake out.
And we've enjoyed the granola bars more that way.
You do?
Yes.
You do. You get a hankering for them. Whereas if you just, you know,
shoot the wire.
Pile drove them on the
You're
first
saying
hour.
That we can't come back next
no,
week?
No, yeah, exactly. Thank you, Vincent. Because that was uncomfortable. And I'm glad you read through that.
Next month? No.
Oh, Cake.
I want to talk about that iceberg thing a little bit
we
more.
We got to tow that iceberg. You know what I'd just like? Here's what I'd like to do. I would like to spread it out. And, you know, when news gets slow, stuff just gets picked up on the wire. Goes like a flapjacks, right? I'm just saying... I want to be known as the guy who's going to tow the iceberg.
Well, you're going to be it.
Adam Carolla towing the iceberg.
You might be saving the earth by doing that.
Lead tow.
And there's plenty of huge icebergs out there as long as you can get a boat that's big enough to pull.
Right. And I'd like it to be shrouded in mystery. Like, they go, why are you towing? I got my reasons. That's my answer. Don't worry about it. You'll know soon enough. Oh, yes. Soon enough, and I repeat, and then I wring my hands.
I laugh like a maniac.
Yeah, I'm just saying, someone needs to tow an iceberg. Someone's been talking about it for a million years, and no one has ever done it.
We'll do a concert from the top of your iceberg. We'll do like a webcast or something like that.
That would be awesome.
Huge.
That would be awesome.
We'd have to wear those little like gloves with they have the fingers. You can get your fingers through.
Yes, yeah, so you can play the guitar.
It's like Russian peasants.
Yeah.
All right. We'll take a question for the band, by the way. Aaron?
Hey, what up?
What up, big Cake fan?
Yo, Cake. Wow, this is crazy.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Yeah, that's what people say.
Aaron has a question for us?
No offense, Dr. Drew and Adam.
Oh. We'll handle this.
No,
we'll
take it. Go ahead.
I'm just an ultimate Cake fan. And I guess I kind of... I don't know. It's just a weird thing to be a fan of a band called Cake.
Yeah. It's humiliating.
So far, Aaron, you've insulted everyone in the room. So why don't you get on with your question?
You don't have to tell anyone about it.
I'm trying to get to the show on Tuesday, and the second I heard about it, went to go buy them on the internet, couldn't do it. Anyway, I guess they
at the Roxy. talking about it at the Roxy?
Tomorrow?
Tuesday.
Yeah, it's
I was hoping he'd ask how I was able to let go of some of my hang-ups and stuff like that.
Yeah, but he didn't.
And you
so you want us to like get you into the show?
I love
free.
When people
want
to beg for a favor. They open with a bunch of insults. No offense, you guys, but I don't have any plays for you. Cake.
Well, I mean,
it's weird to be a fan of you, of a band called Cake. What possessed me to do that? But anyway,
I think there's a certain sort of 18-year-old male Tourette's that happens when you're trying to pay a compliment.
Yeah, we're not pissed. We're not pissed.
They're cool. So, Aaron.
Hey, what's up?
Are you trying to kiss some ass and
well,
see
I mean,
if you can
I'll
get some
anything.
Tickets?
I know Cake has good taste. I mean, I'll dance nakedly on the stage. I'm down for anything.
Because you like the band.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I didn't quite come out and even said that yet.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like oh, band. By the way, I love the band. I love you and Adam as well.
Aren't you guys, thank you, are you going to be a little... little post-ass kiss, which is nice. Like, he's actually turn the clock back and kiss some ass
in
the time machine.
Hey, Adam, I've been a fan for years, by the way. I love the
thanks,
show.
Buddy.
Love
thanks, buddy. Are you guys doing the Late Late Show on Tuesday, by the way?
I think so.
Before the Roxy thing?
I think we might be, yeah. I think they've really got our schedule chock full of excitement.
Are you doing Tuesday?
No, I'm not.
Wednesday.
I'm hosting a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday week, for the love of Christ. But Aaron, you can watch them Tuesday when I'll not be there hosting.
I have tickets for the other guy, Jay Leno, but I can't do it because I'm at work.
Okay, but is Cake's going to be doing the Tonight Show, you mean, on Monday?
Yeah, tomorrow.
Uh-huh. So tomorrow, you can't go. All right, I'll tell you what you can do. Because, look, Cake's not going to give you tickets to the Roxy. They don't like
that's
you that
sold
much.
Out. No, it's just they can't.
Yeah. And what are they going to do? Show us your hairy nipples? I mean, you're a dude. Can't get in their Cake concert. But you can, on November 18th, go to the Universal Amphitheater.
There you go.
And see Cake. Yeah. It's the 18th of November.
Radio. Good radio.
And here's the thing.
Yeah.
You get
a drop trowel.
You get those tickets tomorrow.
Yeah, get them now because it's going to
sell
out.
Get them now.
Probably.
It's going to sell out, so you get them tomorrow and you get good seats, and then you're already
on sale
in the
now?
Amphitheater.
For the amphitheater?
They're on sale.
They're on sale. All right.
We'll log on. Get it right now.
Yeah.
Darren?
Yeah.
Darren?
Yeah.
You're 18? I mean, you're 14?
Yeah, I am.
All right. Hold on. I don't know if I like that kid's attitude.
I think he was asleep. He's 14.
Oh, he was? Yeah. Oh, he's been on hold for 62 minutes? All right. Darren?
Yeah.
Were you asleep?
I'm laying in bed with the lights out, but...
Okay.
Real quick, what's the deal?
I have a question for Cake. I was wondering if you guys remember a girl named Allegra Alessandri. I think she went to school with you and knew one of you guys.
I think she's like in my class so a long time ago. Why do you ask?
Yeah, she's one of my teachers, and she mentioned you guys when we first went into our class when school started. So,
well, she shouldn't be using our name to try to
be cool.
get points teaching. But tell her I said hello if you talk to her.
Okay,
John
cool.
Well, then why can't she use the
points?
I'm just place. Joking around. She's great.
John,
was she a good teacher? Did she do a good job?
Yeah, she's an excellent teacher.
Isn't she great? I think she's great.
Wow, is she teaching at the same school she went to high school?
John doesn't remember where she is. Sorry.
Yeah.
No, she's not.
John doesn't know. John said he thinks he got to third base with her.
No.
He did say that to me during the break, coincidentally.
No.
All right, what does she teach, Darren?
She teaches actually a lot of classes. We have a block schedule at our school, so she teaches...
Boring. She teaches a lot of classes. What's a block
schedule?
Well,
he was
schedule.
Getting to it. Right. It means you go through a series of classes in one block.
Yeah.
And then you go to another teacher for another block.
You go to one class? Oh,
let's
and you take, like, English,
block.
Math, and science?
Probably English and history or something. Let's hear.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Darren?
Yeah.
I'm intrigued now. How's the block schedule work?
It's really good. We have one class for, I think, a month, and then we switch, and then... it's really good, actually.
And she teaches what classes?
English, I mean, everything.
All right. Is he high? Or
he's 14.
He just teaches everything.
Yeah,
back in my day, you had a topic that you taught, and then there was driver's ed. Like, driver's ed was the wild card one. The guy, you could teach biology and teach driver's ed. You could teach PE driver's ed. PE and driver's ed were a good one.
Sex education,
good mixture. Yeah,
the same guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Some teachers
classes.
Were dedicated. The people that like taught history seemed to just teach history, but the PE coaches and the sex ed would always teach driver's ed and vice versa. Yeah, failed driver's ed, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Mark of distinction.
Failed driver's ed, everybody.
And now you've got a Datsun 510.
Yeah. And I'm, you know, literally.
And you raced in the Toyota Grand Prix. Think about that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, excellent driver. Just failed driver's ed. I taught traffic school later on in life. Remember that?
Oh,
true.
What is was it health in driver's ed that you had? Was it the health part that really brought you down?
Or? No. Just straight driver's ed.
It is the infinite wisdom of the LA Unified System that I see just glaring forth here, right?
Oh.
The infinite.
So brutal.
Yeah.
Warehousing. Where, actually, I would have been better off if they physically just took me to a warehouse. At least I could have learned to drive a goddamn forklift.
Yeah.
You know, I would have known something about stocking pallets and stuff like that. If it was physically warehoused in a warehouse, I got warehoused in a school. It's no good.
You'd be speaking Spanish now.
Oh, my God. I'd know when the lunch truck was coming. It'd be a good life. I'd be in a union right now. Amy?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I may be in a union.
Really?
You gotta have one.
That's right.
We're in a radio union, are we not?
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
Whether we like it or not.
Yeah. Is it really a union when they force you to join it? And then every once in a while they give you like these newsletters. Hey, we're having an election.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, I didn't want to be in this crappy union.
Yeah, we get those newsletters too.
Yeah.
What we do.
That'd be good. So why don't you send some newsletters to the guys at Guantanamo Bay? Hey, we're having an election. Now that you guys are here, you should. No, they don't want to be. We don't want to be here. You understand? We were forced here. You forced us to come here. And you pretend like we're part of the democratic process now. The SAG and AFTRA, they all do the same thing. Which, like, hey, basically we blackmail you and then we force you to be here. And oh, by the way, if you say anything bad about the union, everyone's going to freak out. Jason Alexander's going to throw a hissy fit. And more of his hair is going to pop out, and everyone's going to freak. And then everyone's going to explain to you how lucky you are to be forced into this union. And then, furthermore, we're having elections, and you need to participate.
Remember when you started mouthing off about the commercial?
Never got more crap in my life. The big argument with the union was, first off, they would say stuff like, oh yeah, Adam, you do commercials, so where are you? Listen, here's how commercial works. They offer me money. If it's not enough money, I don't do it. If it seems like, and then I tell them how much I want, and that seems like too much, and then we meet somewhere, and then I do it. It has nothing to do with the unions, number one. But number two, the union's big argument is some of these actors, they only work a couple days out of the year. How are they supposed to support their family if we're not paying them $50,000 a shot? You know, it's like, how about they get a goddamn job? What do you mean? That's a great gig. Hey, Drew, I don't want to do radio twice a year.
Perfect.
How am I supposed to support my family?
Call the union.
I want more money. That's it. I have to squeeze in my yearly earnings into two trips to the station now because I only work twice a year.
Because you said so.
Yeah, yeah. You only work twice because it's acting. Because you're in a Mountain Dew commercial and you're not doing anything. You need to be overcompensated for nothing. You're not doing anything. Shut your pie hole and get back to work. Go get me. Look, you know what you need to do? Go get me my burger before the fries get cold. Hot to it. Mach schnell. Please. Your unions. And everyone freaked out because it was during the whole big strike. And I was like, who cares? Just say, look, you don't want to be a commercial. First off, too, you can't threaten somebody when anyone can do your job, like commercial actors. Anybody can be a commercial actor. You just got to look. Half the time, seven-eighths of the time, there's not dialogue. There really isn't. You're just sitting there eating out of a bucket of chicken. Please. These people only work. These people have... Get a job! That's not a job. You going on auditions and getting one out of every 350 is not a job. Yeah, your family should be pissed. Get a job!
I see Adam having a pretty decent career in politics. He could become a demagogue or something like that.
Start yelling at everybody.
Yeah. Well, he wants to be a philosopher king.
Yeah.
Who doesn't?
They only work 2 days out of the year. It's all the rich actors are whining about it all the time. They got tons of money and they're whining. You know, we make a ton of money. I make $150,000 an episode, but this guy only works. Yeah, he doesn't. It's not a job, by the way. It's like complaining that the circus has passed you by, or I didn't make it into the NBA, or I'm not a professional rock musician. Who am I going to complain to about this? Nobody gets to do this. Of course, when you have a job that requires no talent and you get residuals up the wazoo, when you don't have a speaking role? Of course everyone wants to do your job. And of course anyone can do your job. So you have to create an elaborate union to keep other people out. Let's open it up. Let everyone give it a shot. How about that? Extortion. You do two commercials, they just take your checks from you. You do everything. They just extort money from you.
I'll vote for you. I'll vote for you.
Thank you.
As union president.
By the way, it's legal, by the way, that you have to join something? I mean, really, really break that one down for a second. It's like, yeah, I'd like to do a radio show and get paid. We're getting involved. I don't want to be involved with you. No, we're getting involved. Don't worry, we'll give you some good dental. Yeah, I'd rather pay for the dental myself and then save the money that I'm paying. No. You'll do it our way, or you won't work. Oh, yeah, that's democratic way, everybody. Oh, no, be thankful. We're having an election. Yeah, a chick from Little House in the Prairies running for a treasurer this year. Okay, vote for
president.
Her. Oh, treasurer. Oh, well, yeah, God bless you. I got to get down to the rally.
Don't you want to talk about sex, Adam?
Yeah, you're right.
Relax, she's busy.
I'm busy. That's a great union. Amy?
Yeah.
24?
I am.
What's up?
I was calling, actually, about my uncle, who has decided that it's a good idea to take showers with his two preteen children.
How old are they?
One's 12. He's a boy. And the other is 8. And that's a girl.
Yeah. Boy and a girl?
A girl.
Come in and give me a hug.
Where's mom with all this? Auntie.
Sorry, what was that?
Where's your aunt with all this?
They're separated. She lost custody of them, and he is currently trying to get custody of them.
To lose custody of your kids to a guy who wants to shower with them, it's like you have to try to blow one of them up with an M80 or something, right? You have to actually film you putting an M80 up the ass of your kid.
Yes. What's wrong with your aunt?
She is into drugs and all sorts of crazy stuff.
Dad, uncle must be also.
He's not into drugs, but he has some emotional problems.
Evidently. Well, is there anybody supervising the contact with the kids?
Well, he is currently living with his mother.
The showering uncle?
Yes. So she's the one who's brought this pretty much to the entire family's attention.
Great. Well, then somebody's time to do something about it.
Well, what happens when his mother says, hey, you know, maybe you shouldn't be taking a shower with the kids?
He just basically says that it's what they've been doing their entire lives and that she's just a pervert.
thinking those thoughts.
You know, it's an interesting point that you hate to have government involving themselves in these relationships.
Yeah.
And this guy's doing something that may be essentially innocent, but I will tell you the fact is it has a potential and significant adverse effect on the kids. So as such, might not be a bad idea to sort of put him on notice that somebody's going to find out about this if he doesn't keep better boundaries in the home.
Right.
That's it. And then if he doesn't, it's probably a sign of more serious stuff, and you might as well get the authorities involved.
Okay.
If he can't adjust, if he's unwilling to adjust, it means something.
That's and, what I'm saying.
Amy, it's time for you to start
getting out of that family.
Yeah, start constructing an elaborate ruse about being royalty and whatever country you're from and all that kind of stuff. Because you're way past this family. This is a horrible group.
You done with school?
No, I'm still in school.
Where?
Junior college?
Yeah.
Ooh. 24.
Oh, baby.
Well, I had a baby, so it kind of...
Uh-huh. All right. Apple doesn't fall too far from the tree.
And what's the plan? Where are you going to go to university?
No.
Nursing school, actually.
Yeah. Adam, there we go. That's good. That's what you got to do.
Yep.
You go to nursing school.
Get an RN, okay?
All right.
That's the only acceptable students in junior college are nursing students and folks that come from other countries that just are trying to get their sort of bearings straight. White people who aren't involved with nursing should not be allowed at junior college. You understand?
Especially the males.
They go there. It's a graveyard for white people who don't want to study. That's just mothballing them. They just mothball people over there. Right, what year are you in? I mean, you're 21. Mm-hmm. Two-year program? Great.
Where's the hacky sack?
Yeah. I'd like to go down to L.A. Valley College, find out the average age of the students.
Some of the
there.
People might
45,
still be there that you saw
I probably,
many years
when
ago.
I was on academic probation over there, probably.
Same
some
name,
of the same,
same list.
Well, I think my mom's still going there.
Yeah, but she's a scholar there.
Hey,
emeritus.
Drew? What do you think's the cutoff age for taking baths or showers with your children?
It's a really interesting question. I think people could debate the point. I don't know what the absolute age is.
It's a judgment call.
Yeah,
it depends.
I think after you get a, you know, over six.
I was thinking six. Yeah.
I think you want to air young. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm thinking five.
Five.
Yeah.
Five and a half.
Right.
Even you don't want to be uptight around kids or shaming, but you want to have boundaries.
Right.
You want to understand where their body begins, where yours begins, where that, you know, parents behave, where kids behave.
And when they're starting to be aware of things.
And even, you know, even at any point, you might want to maintain a boundary and not ever do this. I mean, some people could argue that shouldn't be.
I don't have any kids, but give them the feeling that nudity is scary and weird.
Yeah, well, that's the point. You don't want to do that at the same time.
I agree.
That's the point.
John, you're saying at the right time, you got to give them the feeling that
at the right
is
time you
got to
give them the idea
the scariest
that,
yeah of course
nudity. I whiz in the shower, so I worry about a 5-year-old.
detached
retina.
It is sterile.
Chlamydia.
Right. That's what I keep telling myself. Yeah. But my wife, really, she would beg to differ. She really would.
Tell your wife that the Prime Minister of India used to drink a glass of his own urine every day. Lived to be like 89 years old.
Right.
The Greeks used to do it.
Hold on, I'm writing. Write this down.
Tell your wife not to worry about it.
You know John from Cake?
Yeah.
Sorta. Well, in regards to urine, it's going to be great. Yeah, Prime Minister of Europe. I'm going to screw it up, though, somehow. The Prime Minister of India used to eat his own poo.
What were they?
They'd make a pinch pot out of his own poo and then fill it with urine.
What were they trying to do with that? What was their purpose?
It's actually a really old therapy.
For what?
Well, it was supposed to be sort of like an elixir. That's what the way the Greeks saw it. And there's a lot of people that, I've never done it, and I don't think I ever could. But
what was it supposed to do? What was that?
Because
it's just a bunch of urea. That's all it is.
Well, they think that gives you a second chance at your vitamins or something like that, or your antibodies.
True. They weren't, they were primitive. I mean, they weren't primitive, but it was a long time ago. Then,
right.
Didn't have access.
They knew better than that.
We didn't need modern masks. We screwed everything up since Adam. Come on.
They didn't have CAT scans.
This wasn't very long ago. This was in India, in the last.
Well, look, in India, they're taking a cramp in the street over there. I mean, we can't. Like, a cow's running wild. They're duking in the street. Police. We can't go to them for anything. Although the Indian food is tasty. I got to say that. Well, gotta take a little break. Cake is in studio tonight. We got a nice lesbian question coming up. Told Mom. She's freaked. How to help her take it? Well, Krista's. Let me talk to her for a second. Krista?
Yeah?
You're 15?
Yeah.
You're lesbian?
Yeah.
Not bisexual, lesbian.
Lesbian.
And you told your mom?
Yeah.
Shrewd. Hold on.
Yeah.
Smart. Always good to make those sexual proclamations in front of your parents when you got another 3-4 years under the roof with them. Smart. I remember when I came in and announced to the world I beat off. Remember that? Thanksgiving.
They didn't hear you the first 2 times, yeah.
Yeah. I had to do that thing where I tapped my glass on the silver.
And then you had three years to gut it out after that?
I had to gut it out for 3 years. Yeah. But you have to. You have to declare a major.
His grandma leans forward and goes, Adam's going to talk about masturbating again.
Shh. Dr. Drew is here. Cake is here. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with Krista, 15, lesbo, after this. Hey, everybody, Love Line, man. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Vincent DeFiore is here tonight, along with John McCrae from Cake. And the CD is called Pressure Chief. We will, did we hear our second song? No, we didn't, did we?
Let's do that.
Well, we got to take a call.
All right, lesbian, then we're going to hear it. Then the song.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Krista.
I want to hear about the lesbian.
15.
Yep.
So, you told your mom you're a lesbian.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, I kind of felt like I had to.
Why?
Well, she really, really wants me to go out with this guy down the street, and, well, I'm not into guys anymore, and so...
We'll give you... it's an interesting situation where the mom's pushing.
Did they really? I thought this out of movies.
Well, I went out with the guy in the past.
Same guy?
No.
Yeah.
Same guy? Huh? You went out with the guy who your mom's pushing for?
And now, and then we broke up, and my mom still likes him, or wants me to go out with him.
Your mom must be a single mom.
No, but she's been divorced and remarried.
So you have a stepfather?
Yeah.
How do you do with him?
Huh?
Bad time.
How do you like him?
I don't.
You don't?
No.
All right. Wonder if there's a woman alive that likes your stepfather. My sister hated my stepdad, and the guy never spoke one word to anybody ever. I never heard the guy talk.
Certainly not if the stepdad shows up in the late child, early teen years. Then no, no, no.
Yeah.
Crystal,
I'm just picking up a little bit of pot, Krista. No?
Huh?
Smoke a little pot?
Me?
Yeah.
No.
No?
Never even tried it, actually.
Really?
I thought I heard that pot.
Squaresville, baby. You couldn't hang. Hey, so Krista, so you told your mom because she was pressuring you to get back together with your old boyfriend, who she liked, but you don't.
And you blurted out, I'm gay.
Well, I didn't blurt it out, but yeah.
You told her, yeah. And have you been with a woman?
I'm about to be. I'm going to ask her out on Wednesday.
Well, here's the deal. You've been brutalized by your stepdad, and a great way to get back...
Well, how do you know she's been brutalized? Was your stepdad abusive?
No.
Why do you hate him so much?
Because he's an smart aleck, and then just...
All right. Well,
aleck's not that big of a crime.
Maybe. I won't use words like brutal, but it's been your mom has brought something very unpleasant into your life, and a great way to get back at her is just to...
There you go.
Give her something right between the eyes about your sexual orientation or something that normal 15-year-olds don't talk to their parents about.
No. Obviously, there's an agenda here, whether you're aware of it or not. We have not... In this... shows in the 9 years that I've been on this show, I've never spoken to someone under 20 who decided it was a good idea. I'll make it under 22.
Yeah.
Who decided it was a good idea to clue their parents in on their sexuality, didn't have a little bit of an axe to grind with them. Or a major axe to grind, which is, look, you drive dad out. Whether dad left or not, whatever, that's the perception. You bring in this world-class a-hole, and now it's payback time. Oh, you want me to date the neighbor kid? I'm a lesbian. And here's the funny thing is, 85% of the time they announce they're a lesbian, they haven't even gone down on a chick
yet.
Right,
they've not been with a woman yet. They're planning to
be a
lesbian.
We're all lesbians using their lesbian yardstick.
Right.
Well, I got to get one of those.
A lesbian yardstick?
Yeah.
What would that look like?
I don't know. It's like flannel. It's maybe a little longer in a yard. Maybe it's like a meter. It's a little bigger. Yeah.
Lesbian
I don't know.
Meter.
I'd have to work on that. There's probably metric on the other side. You know, you flip it over. I think so. Yeah, I don't know. And I think it's got one of those metal edges on it for drawing a straight line.
Oh, definitely. Definitely metal.
For
metal
sure.
Edge.
Yeah, for
straight
sure.
Edge.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And a hole in it so you can hang it, you know, in your garage.
Yeah.
That's so what's the problem here, though, really? I mean,
I don't know.
Is her mom's upset or something?
Yeah, and her mom's upset now. She wants to know what to do. All right.
There's nothing to do.
Krista, just build a time machine. Go back to the time when you weren't trying to piss her off.
The thing is that she asked me to go to homecoming with her.
New girl.
The new girl.
Yes.
Oh, all right.
And
as a couple.
I couldn't tell my... Well, this guy was going to ask me to homecoming. And I had to tell him no because I don't want to go with the guy to homecoming. And then she asked me, and I said okay. And my mom goes, "So who are you going to homecoming with?"
Well, just tell you're going with a friend of yours. I mean,
or you could go with the guy and then hook up with your girlfriend.
No, you don't. Look, I high school at 15, you don't need dates to everything. You can go with your friend.
Well, she's already told her mom, so
So your mom's PO'd.
What are you going to do?
Unfortunately, you got to live under that roof for a few more years with her.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. I don't know if there's anything you can do.
If you are, one of the reasons we're not sort of zeroing in on her sexual orientation is she's not really clear what she is. She's dating guys, now she's girls, very, very common.
Sure, she's into girls.
And now she's into girls, but maybe not for long. If you really are lesbian, then you might want to take advantage of any of the gay and lesbian youth support groups in your community. They're usually around. Mm-hmm. But I'm not clear that you are that. You seem to be just sort of all over the place right now. And just sort of, it's okay to be all over the place, but don't sort of commit yourself just because you got to make your parents angry.
Yeah.
Or just because stepdad was an a-hole.
Yeah.
Do just kind of stay open to what the possibilities are when you declare a major fine.
Here's the whole thing, Chris, too. You're never really going to get the lesbian horse back into the barn. It's out. It's out and with another lesbian horse.
But
what I'm saying is...
Is that like a lesbian yardstick?
Yeah.
They're the unicorns? Or are they horses?
Probably raping the other lesbian horse with a lesbian yardstick. But here's the thing, Krista. Here's what you can do. Get your grades good, go off to college, and don't give the stink eye to your stepdad when he asks you to pass the pork chops. And that's about it. I mean, like, people want to, and she's not going to do it because she's PO'd and whatever, but people want to undo stuff, and you can't really undo stuff, but what you can do is from this day forward kind of thing. Like,
have
you,
a plan.
Your boss could bust you and see you trying to steal a copier and get pissed off or whatever, and it's like, how do I undo it? Well, you can't undo it. You could be a great employee for the next year, though. That would certainly help. People tend to forget about stuff like that when you bring home a report card with a bunch of A's on it.
It seems like a lot
of stuff goes away.
They could just sidestep this issue for a while. There's so many other things aside from sexuality you're 15
Table.
Years old.
Yeah. Don't discuss the sexuality anymore. Stop giving the stepdad the stink eye and get the grades up. Mellow out.
Are you into sports?
She's kind of a lesbian, yeah. Christina? Yeah.
Maybe get really into sports, excel at sports.
No.
Not into sports? Yeah, you're not a lesbian. No. You're not into sports, you've never been with a chick. Come on. Okay. Kind of lesbian, aren't you?
I don't know. Well, maybe it's really important to her, but she doesn't need to have it be an issue with her mother right now.
Look,
and her mother is probably willing to forget that she even said anything.
No. Have a talk with your mom. How about talking to your mom and just telling her, look, how you resent? Give your mom a chance to give her side of the story. She'll tell you what an a-hole a biological dad was.
Yes.
She'll realize it wasn't all her fault. 15-year-old girls, when daddy's gone and stepdad, forget about it. My sister walked around with a puss on from like 12 to 37. Just a perpetual puss on. Like, couldn't stand dad, couldn't stand. I mean, rightfully so. Everyone was an idiot. But, I mean.
You sort of picked up after 37 on her behalf.
Yeah, no, I got the puss on.
Yeah,
I got to carry the puss on torch. But the point is 15-year-old chicks angry at mom, disaster. You know, stepdad's thing is like, look, I didn't rape you. I never done nothing to you. I bought you a bike when you were 5. Now I got to get the stink eye all day. It's a horrible situation. Everyone's just angry at everybody. Have a talk with your mom. See what you can do. All right. Here's the thing about women, too. And I'm giving you a warning here, guys. Women's sexuality is like it was like that Arabian Nights cartoon back in the day. Size of a lesbian! You know, it can take on any shape. Like, us, like, as a guy, we can't threaten you with anything. Oh, yeah? Well, I'm going to my room and I'm beating off. I'm thinking about chicks. But a woman can go like, oh, you screw with me? All right, I'm going lesbian. Size of a lesbian. They just go lesbian. Oh, whatever. I'm bi.
Size of a bisexual.
Yeah, I'm into whatever. I'll go pull a train in the locker room. size of a slut. I'll do whatever I have to do, so don't F with a chick. Like, you got a teenage daughter. Don't F with her. It's like, because a teenage chick will be like, what are you, Wait, you're a little bit racist? You don't like black guys? Lucius, come here. I'll have sex with the first black guy I find. Whatever. Don't F with me. Guys,
men are so fearful of women's sexuality. They perceive this power. Historically, men have been very fearful of women's sexuality.
They should be. I mean, it's the same as if a chick busts their man cheating and wants vengeance, wants payback, can do it that afternoon.
It's more like Bewitched.
Do that afternoon. Yeah. they got Sparkless guy, pool man, gardener, whatever. Ain't gonna be paid back.
It's always have to be a service worker. Okay.
That's the most available.
No, whoever's coming to the house.
The quickest available.
I was gonna say mailman, but you know, pit helmet and the knee socks. I'm not so sure.
Usually women these days.
Yeah, and whatever it takes, they'll pay you back. Don't screw with your teenage daughter. That's the moral of the story.
It almost shows something else, though, that the sexuality is maybe of secondary concern.
For women, I just think
it's hard for us to understand.
It's not nearly as carved into their concrete as it is for us. We just couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And they certainly can. All right, let's hear a Cake song. Can we hear a Cake song?
Please.
All right. Off the new Pressure Cheap CD. Queued up there, Chris. This one is called Wheels.
In a wooden boat, in the shipping lanes, with the freight jets flying overhead, making lines across the darkening sky. And when the sun is going down, I can take a taxi into town, and the waiter at the restaurant sets a table just for one. Wheels keep on spinning round, spinning round, spinning round. Wheels keep on spinning round, spinning round. So far away from you. Eventually we began to see that we could be completely free. And I could get away from you, and you could get away from me. And we could live each separately in our cities in the sun. Wheels keep on spinning round, spinning round, spinning round. Wheels keep on spinning round. By the banks of the mighty Bosphorus is a Japanese man in a business suit, singing "Smoke It's in Your Eyes." And the muscular cyborg German dudes dance with sexy French Canadians, while the overweight Americans wear their patriotic jumpsuits. Wheels keep on spinning round, spinning round, spinning round. Wheels keep on spinning round.
Cartoons and cake.
Cake in studio. All right. Nothing better than cake. Smart guys, about the same age, and haven't been totally destroyed by drugs, so we can actually talk about things that happened before last week. The new CD is called Pressure Chief. We'll take a quick break. Be back with John and Vincent after this. Line, I'm Adam. It's Dr. Drew. Forget about that phone number. Later in the week, Bonnie Somerville, new star of NYPD Blue, is going to be in here. And then Puddle of Mud will be in here. And we will be taking calls from Iraq. And I think it's like, it'll be like 11 a.m. in the morning the following day or something. I don't know. It'll be a much different time than it is now. And we'll actually be taking calls from Iraq. Although I have a little faith that's going to work out.
We'll are people having sex in Iraq right now?
We're going to find out.
No. I'm going with no.
I'm going with yes.
I think they're having... Who? Who's having sex? Iraqis?
The people are military. Yeah,
but they only have their own to choose from.
Yeah.
You
think they're mixing with the Iraqis?
Well, let me tell you something. Back in the day, you know, World War II, probably the heyday, you know, you go to France, you go to England, you go to Germany, you get yourself some nice local tail. You know what I'm saying? Here, it's tough because you got a choice. You got to choose the enlisted chicks, and you know, I got to be honest. I went to high school. Yeah. I saw a few of them. Not a good.
They're
the
in Saddam's palace with his great porn collection.
Oh, really?
I think that's
what I heard.
Yeah. Where he has a good porn collection?
I'm making that up.
I would imagine he could afford something better than Beta. That's what I'm saying. All right. I've become a snob now. I got DVD on porn. I can't go back anymore. I can't go back to VCR.
In World War II, the average American soldier, this is the greatest generation, right?
Okay.
The average American soldier over in Europe in World War II had sex with 25 women per year.
Really?
That's the average. So there are dudes that were like...
Really?
Yeah.
How do you know this?
This is the greatest generation.
How did they record that?
Is that in the Tom Brokaw book?
I'm so proud of that.
Yeah, where'd you see that in the Atlas?
Oh, it's just a statistic.
The Almanac?
I read it somewhere.
That seems like a hard thing to document.
They counted. Yeah, they did interviews with the greatest generation.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. You mean the guys that survived that are here now, they had to look back and talk about it?
Yeah, apparently. Yeah.
I mean, Andy Rooney was quite the cunt. He banged the bejesus out of just about everyone in Germany and back in the mid-40s.
What are you going to do?
Mid-40s. There's war going on. The phrase the English had was overfed, oversexed, and over here.
Yeah.
They were pissed.
Yeah.
They were pissed. Leave our women alone.
Yeah. Cry me a river, Limey. Try and do less. Save your ass. Ryan?
Yeah.
You want to know where the band Cake got their name?
Yeah, I had a couple of questions.
They don't like that. Bands don't like it when you ask them where they got
it. No, their one's for you, Adam.
All right, go ahead.
Okay,
where'd you get your name?
Yeah.
Me? My mom.
Oh, good.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
First of all, I wanted to know if they like pie or cake better.
What do you guys like?
We use the word cake thinking that it means a verb, not a noun. So it's not even about baked goods.
Too cake.
For us, yeah, like mud on your shoe, dog on your pant leg.
That's for the S word.
Oh, you can use excuse me.
So it means like makeup would be Tammy Faye Baker's makeup would be,
exactly.
would be caked on.
Yeah, yeah. We weren't thinking about bakeries.
And is that true, really?
I actually don't like cake very
much.
Yeah,
good. The I find pie far superior.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, God,
not into
you.
It.
Yeah. Let me say this, all you naysayers. And look, I hate it when you retards try to make a point because it's the same point everyone makes when they're doing this. Like, you go, look, here's what I say. I say, take an equal pie and an equal cake. People like the pie better. Like, you got a $7 pie and you got a $7 cake. Everyone wants the pie. And they go, yeah, but... What about one of those really nice German chocolate cakes that's like $50 and it's got the raspberry layers, and then your pie is just one of those ones you get out of the bakery thrift shop over at the store. And of course that one's better.
Well, spend $27 on the pie and then...
Right. Yeah, no, this is this. People make their argument. I don't. Who teaches people how to argue? They go like this, like where you go, look. All things being equal, I think a kid should have a mother and a father. I think that would suit the child the best as a society. Oh, so you're saying you instead of a rich, loving, gay couple, you think they'd be better off with an alcoholic, a verbally abusive, a sodomizing, white slavery, devil worshiping, heterosexual couple? Is that what you're? Nah, that's not what I said at all. That's what you said when you were trying to make your retarded, exaggerated point. Same with the cake thing, which is cake. Here's the deal. Here's all you need to know about the difference between cake and pie. We haven't gotten into this in a long time, Drew. I insist on pies at my birthday celebrations. Drew, you know, played your cards right, you'd be invited to one of them.
And I've seen it. I've seen the aftermath with the pie tins licked clean.
Let me tell you something about pie. You have to shoo people away from the pie table. When I put the pies out, it's always like someone starts hovering around. Oh, no. Not yet. Not yet with the pie. Cake. Here's what happens with cake. First off, it's a birthday cake. How old are we, everybody? I'm 40 years old now. I still get that crappy white sheet cake that people make where they take the pink lettering and they write it on top with the sugar frosting. And it's like, I don't want this crap. At least pull out some lemon cake or something if you're going to do something. Maybe a carrot cake. Who the hell? I went to a party. 4 days ago at Kimball, someone had a birthday party. Somebody whipped up a cake. What was it? White cake.
Sheet cake.
White frosting. Sheet cake. Yeah. And sheet. It's not. It's more the Spanish pronunciation of sheet, not sheet like is in it any sheet music. You know what I'm saying? That's where it got its name. Yes, like no sheet cake. That's my policy. The thing is, it's horrible, lard-filled crap.
And everybody just eats their ice cream, and then they you know what I mean?
Cake.
That's what I did.
That cake is sold to them.
That's my childhood memory, is eating some of the ice cream but not being able to finish
the cake.
Maybe
putting a finger into the frosting. Yeah, here's how it works. And this is all you need to know about cake and pie. The pie, you put it out, it gets devoured. It's like piranhas jumping on it. The cake, you got that poor broad is in charge of distribution. She takes the little plastic serving plates and she walks around and she bothers people at the party. Here you go, take the thing. I'm good. And take it. I'm doing the carb thing. I'm doing the Atkins.
Just a little piece.
Thing.
Just a little
you know what? And here's how it goes. I'm just going to set it down on the arm of the sofa. I'm going to walk. I'll just set it down here. I'll walk away if you want. And then later on, someone puts a cigarette out in it, and you got to go collect it. And that's cake, everyone. Pie, devour. And by the way, you don't see half-eaten pieces of pie at a party. You see the half-eaten cake. Just the finger, the frosting out. The guy just picked the raspberry out of the center. Ate around the whatever. Pie, it's not like, oh, there's half a piece. You never close your eyes. You don't know what half a piece of pie looks like.
Yeah, pie is like food. Yeah. Cake is like a decoration, it's pie is food.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
With a shell to keep it together so you can pick it up or move it to a plate.
I'm so glad we're on the same, ironically, on the same page
it's
here.
All right.
Ironically, a band called Cake is on the same page as you.
And let me tell you something. It takes a big, big band. big band to admit when they're wrong.
Called Cake. Be so open-minded about pie.
Dickie from the Boston said these guys are in the Pie Tasters. I was praying that band would break because I love the idea that there's a band called the Pie.
And they'd be like, we're talking about the mathematic symbol.
Right. That'd disappoint me. All right, we're going to take a little break. Cake is here tonight. Well, there's Dickie. Take a quick break. Be right back. All right, that's it. Where'd the show go?
Good times.
I'll tell you, so bearable with cake, you know? Usually come in here, it's a chore, staring at Drew all night, giving each other a stink eye, but now...
Just sail through.
Cake comes in, sail right through. God bless you, Vincent. God bless you, John.
And cap the discussion about pie, Adam.
Yeah.
It really been good to you tonight.
Pressure Chief, name of the new CD, out on Tuesday. It is consistently strong, just like everything that comes out of cake. All right, and you catch them over at the Universal Amphitheater on the 18th of November. Tonight's show coming up for Monday, and then all over the place. So keep your eyes open for cake, guys. Always a pleasure.
Thank you. Thanks for having us. To be here.
And until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.